This podcast episode is sponsored by Navy Pro Tools. As business owners of Ever Pretty Beauty Studio, we understand the importance of using the highest quality tools and hygiene products.
We instantly fell in love with Navy Pro Tools when we first invested in their cuticle pushers named Ethel and Doris. Their titanium coating gives them their signature gold look, but also helps minimise cross-contamination, and we were blown away by their precision.
Hygiene has always been a top priority in the studio, and using the Navy three-step hygiene process has allowed us to work safely and effectively, giving us full confidence. Navy's hygiene system has been created with the help from Dr. Fenton, an infection prevention and control expert. If you wish to place an order, you can use our code PRETTY10 for 10% discount.
Hello and welcome to the Beauty Edit podcast, a podcast solely dedicated to the nail and beauty industry. In today's episode, we'll be chatting to Em Sheldon, the food, lifestyle, fashion, beauty and travel blogger. In today's episode, we'll be chatting all things client expectations. We feel this subject will be helpful given the current economic circumstances.
We are so excited to have Emma join us today. She has visited numerous salons over the years for a wide range of treatments, so it will be interesting to hear her expectations and insights as a client. Hopefully this episode will allow us to get a view of our businesses and work from a different perspective. Together we can fine-tune, tweak and make changes to our current way of working to ensure our businesses survive this very tough time. Hi Em!
Hi!
Hi, welcome to the Beauty Edit podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
No, thank you for joining us. We couldn't believe it when you said yeah.
I know. We're like, oh my God. We didn't think for 1 minute you would agree to come on the podcast. We thought you'd be way too busy. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
Never too busy for fellow Yorkshire girl. And I just think the topic is so amazing. I feel very lucky that I've been to a lot of salons all around the world over the last few years. I mean, I probably came out of the womb going to a beauty salon. I feel like the best podcast idea ever. So thank you for choosing me. I'm honoured.
Oh, thank you. So obviously, today's episode is all about client expectations, and we wanted to get a take on the client's point of view. What you expect when you come to a beauty salon, what's your pet hate, things like that. So we're so excited to like find out all the nitty-gritty,
yeah,
as we say in Yorkshire.
We'll be fangirling a little bit as well, because I always keep her up to date and I'm like, look at Maple, look, yeah, how cute she is.
Oh my God, I love her so much. My puppy.
Oh, she's absolutely gorgeous. So for all our listeners, if they're not sure what we're talking about, before we've even introduced Em, we'll introduce Maple. So I'm guessing she's your lockdown puppy.
Yeah, so Maple is our gorgeous golden doodle, and we actually arranged to get her way before lockdown. It wasn't like a, oh my God, it's lockdown, let's get a puppy, because I know a lot of people did that.
Yeah, we do.
We have wanted a dog for, oh my gosh, years and years and years, and we literally begged my mum growing up, and my mum was like, absolutely not. And then it just so happened that we got one, and it landed over lockdown accidentally. Yeah. But oh, she's just, oh, she's perfect. We've got her an Instagram account, Maple Doodle Diaries, so everyone can see how fluffy she is on there, I guess.
Yeah. She's so cute. She's like her. A big version of my Honey. I've got a cockapoo.
Oh,
so she's like, honestly, Maple is a big version of my Honey.
It's, yeah, everyone, so cute. The cockapoo. So maybe they're related or something, once upon a time.
Yeah.
Honey and Maple,
though. Oh, let's make them make friends.
Yeah. is she crazy? Is she well behaved? Is she a bit naughty?
When I was researching breeds, I decided not to go for a cockapoo because I heard that they're like crazy. But actually, Maple, so she's 22 weeks old and she sleeps a lot of the time. But when she's crazy, she like, I think she just loves running. We say she's a real Yorkshire pup because she just loves the garden and she loves the countryside. She's happiest at like Round A Park running around. So I think, and we took her to the Stray in Harrogate and oh my gosh, she was just the happiest pup. So I think she's crazy, but only when she's like outside in the wilderness.
Oh gosh, honey, it's crazy. Like 24/7, bless her.
This is what we read about cockapoos and I was like, they're so cute, but I can't deal with a really needy dog.
She's really needy.
I'm needy enough myself. My boyfriend can't with me. You can't have two of us.
Two needy girls.
Maple's won everyone's hearts. Like I say to my boyfriend, it's okay that you love her more than me because I love her more than anyone. So it's fine. Yeah.
You know, I said to Shelby in lockdown, didn't I? I said to Shelby, I went, who do you love more? Do you love Honey more or Anthony? And Anthony's obviously Shelby's boyfriend. And she like looked at me and just went, Honey.
I mean, there's no argument.
No hesitation.
Absolutely none. The way that, I mean, Matt does not greet me at the door like Maple does.
Yeah. Yeah. You can go for, I went to take out your bin, didn't I? I mean, This is Mum taking out Shelby's bins.
Love it.
And I'd come in front door and Honey had met me like with the biggest like wagging tail. Mm. I went out of the back door to take the bin. And when I came back in the front door, it was like I'd been gone for weeks. I'd been gone a minute.
Yeah.
It's so precious, isn't it? It's so lovely when they like sit there and look at the door. So how about next time you open a puppy salon? Because that would be amazing.
That's honestly. I honestly think it would be so popular if you could just go and just sit and like have your nails done with a puppy sat on your knee, but I'm just not sure how it would work.
You actually can at quite a lot of them. So in London, it's a real thing. Like I went
the other day
for my nails doing and there were quite a lot of puppies in there. And I texted my mum and I was like, oh my gosh, you and Maple can come and we can all get our nails done together.
But oh, that is so cute.
I think from a health and safety point of view,
great.
Obviously they could like knock stuff over. It is a bit difficult, but in London it is like a real thing. I mean, they let dogs into every restaurant and nail salon, so maybe
I think I need to move to London.
I will show you around and I will take you to the salons with the dogs, but I literally I split my time for anyone listening that doesn't know between Leeds and London. So I have my family in Yorkshire and then I also have a place in London, so it's kind of the best of both worlds and it means that I get to see salons in kind of both necks of the wood, I guess, which is nice. Wow.
Yeah. Have you ever visited Dryby down in London?
Yeah, I have. Dryby is really good. I actually remember when it first opened and I was like, oh my gosh, need to go to Dryby. And a lot of my clients pre-COVID would host events at Dryby. So I did one with GHD and I did one with Juicy Couture. And what they do is they kind of like hire out the whole salon and it's the most Instagrammable salon. Like
They have
the biggest marble table when you walk in and it's great because you can sit there on a lunchtime. Like I'll often book in before meetings. I'll give myself an hour and I will just sit there and just kind of get my laptop out, not speak to anyone and get my nails and my hair done at the same time, which is amazing. So different to Leeds because when I go and see my nail tech in Leeds, I don't want to be on my laptop. I want to speak to her the whole time.
Yeah.
Have a catch up.
Yeah, we've got a podcast with Christina, the owner of Dryby. Oh. And she shares some amazing like insights into Dryby, you know, the inspiration behind starting the salon and just like their iconic nail design.
I mean, it's just the dreamiest salon and you know it's dreamy because every client I work with hosts events at Dryby. Like they go in and they hire the whole place and they'll have like, you know, drinks and themed cupcakes and say it would be a perfume brand like Juicy Couture. The idea is you would go downstairs and get Juicy Couture style nails. And then you'd be upstairs and GHD would be testing out their new tools. And it's such a beautiful, inspiring, safe space. And oh my gosh, it just feels so calming in there. But I love that I can sit on my laptop when I kind of want to go by myself during my lunch break as well.
Yeah.
We've never actually visited, have we?
No.
I think we've walked past it a couple of times if we've been visiting London, but we've never been in. But we've said it's like one of the things on the bucket list now is to go.
And like Christina said, oh, girls, let me know when you're coming down and she'll make sure. She'll try and arrange a diary so she's there. So.
It's really special. It's just, I'd say it's just so luxurious. Gone are the days of kind of clinical salons that we used to have maybe 10, 15 years ago. Now people want these lifestyle salons. So they're kind of more like well-being spaces where you can sit with a juice or a green tea and you can take your laptop. It's very London, I would say. It kind of reminds me of, I feel like it started in New York. The first place I saw salons like that was definitely New York.
Yeah, I think that's where Christina and her sister, who's the co-owner, said they'd got the idea from. And they thought, well, there's nothing in the UK like it.
No,
and that's why they decided to do that. But yeah, we've already got into the podcast already, and we've not even... You've not even introduced yourself, Em. So people are probably thinking, what are they chatting about?
And they've introduced the dog.
So why don't we, before we do anything else, Em, would you mind introducing yourself for us and our listeners?
Of course. I'm so sorry, guys. As you can tell, I love to ramble and go off on a tangent, which is why I know that me and Shelby would be the best of friends if we were to both like talking. So I started a blog, funnily enough, called Em Talks, because I like talking. My granddad always tells me off. He's like, you talk too fast and you talk too much. I've made a career out of it, so it's fine. So I started this blog in 2012, and it's about beauty, fashion, travel, lifestyle, baking, fitness, whatever it may be, whatever kind of, I guess, women want to hear about, whether it's the latest healthy cupcake recipe or the best restaurant in New York or where to go in London for a blow dry or which workout to do or which SPF is the best. I guess I write about everything, and then I talk about it on YouTube as well. And in 2012, after a few months of doing my blog, I won Cosmopolitan Best Newcomer Award. And I felt like I'd won the BAFTAs or something. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And then a few years later, I won In Style Magazine's Best Lifestyle and Travel Blogger Award. I actually flew back from the Maldives to pick up my award, which was very fitting. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. Like I said, I split my time between Yorkshire and London. I have a house in London that I actually just bought, M Shell Home. And then my family are obviously in Yorkshire. And I went to Leeds Uni, so I'm like Yorkshire born and bred, and I'm big into supporting Yorkshire businesses. And I was saying to the girls before we started this podcast, you know, I deliberately come home purely to get my nails done because I love my Yorkshire salon.
But how lovely is that, you know, obviously for you to travel from London back up here to visit your salon, you must love the salon you visit.
Oh, I do. I just, the owner, so I go to Ragdoll Nails, in Leeds, and I have been going for years now. It's actually down Thornton's Arcade, and it is just beautiful. I've watched her move from the Corn Exchange, and Laura, the owner, I just feel like we get on so well. You know, when you go to a salon and you feel as if the person that does your nails is your therapist. Bless her. She knows my deepest, darkest secrets. She knows everything about my life. My mum goes to her as well. And it's the same with my hair salon. I go to Sassoon in Leeds, and I've been going there for maybe 6+ years now. And it's one of those things, I like to kind of book a whole day out and get brows, nails and hair all done and just meet up with all my favourite Yorkshire people whilst I'm there.
Yeah. What is it that you love about them places that keeps you going back?
I really think it's the people, honestly. So as much as you have places like Drybuy, which are the most beautiful, calming, I mean, I love them. For me, I go to Drybuy when I have meetings in that area of London, and I know that I need an hour to myself where I can crack on with loads of work. And that's my like safe space to sit there and not feel judged, not talking to anyone and just getting on with my work. It's a real like business calming place to go. But then when I'm back home, it's the people. I know that I can sit with Laura at Ragdoll and just chat to her, but get amazing nails done. Like the nails always last me 5 weeks without chipping. And then with Sassoon, I know that I can go and I'm comfortable. I've known these people for years. I've literally grown up with my hairdressers. And I think it's amazing that I can sit there and feel so comfortable and trusting in them, I guess.
Yeah, because I find like with a lot of our clients, they've come for a lot of years now, and you do build up that relationship with your clients, and you do know the lives inside and out. And every time they come, whether it's 3-4 weeks or even if it's just twice a year, it's like having a little catch up again and a little bit of a, you know, they'll have a little bit of a rant about you about something that's going on, or maybe they need to offload, or maybe they just like, we have a few, like, I'd say older ladies, not elderly, but older, and you can tell they come just purely for the social aspects. Like,
yeah,
they come just for some company at times.
Chat. Yeah. I, for my chat.
That isn't that so lovely that you can provide them with that? Because I think about it, and like my grandma, she is a bit old now. She's probably too old to like go and get her nails done just because she's quite frail. But she's nearly 90, bless her. And I would love for her to go and get her nails done, but she wouldn't be able to hear anything, bless her. But she goes and gets her hair done still. And I just know that for her, that's so special because she can go and she can have a cup of tea and, you know, have a chat while she's getting her hair done. And it really is like a nice day out.
Yeah, it's a social event. You know, it's going out, it's chatting, it's socialising. You know, it's possibly ranting, offloading. There's so many positives to go in, and it's not always about just the treatments, it's about the whole package.
It's literally a well-being experience, isn't it? Yeah. I think all the time, having those self-care days like once a month, you feel so good. So you can walk into the salon and you feel horrendous, and by the time you've left you feel amazing because you've either had your nails or your brows or your wax or your hair done. But you've also chatted to someone, and usually like it's such a good chat. And I always just leave feeling like I've had a therapy session. I think it's great.
We need to go to salons more often because we need therapy sessions, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, because you're always on the other side, aren't you? So you're kind of like, you're not getting what the customer's getting.
Yeah. So what do you look for when you're booking a treatment? I know you've talked about that you've been so loyal to Ragdoll Nails and your hairdresser. So I'm guessing you've not really looked for somewhere recently because you know where you're going.
So I know where I'm going, but because I'm often in like different locations or different cities or even different countries, or shopping around for my friends who might live in a different area of London, to be honest, I do quite a lot of research now for like where to go and where's good. Generally, it's Instagram. I go on Instagram and I look at where does good designs, where's getting kind of good reviews, because for me, the thing about Ragdoll Nails is the nails genuinely last. I don't want to go to somewhere that's all style and no substance. So you have to be careful with Instagram, because
I love that little saying, all style and no substance. Yeah. That's so good. Yeah.
That's going to get put in a quote for our Instagram, is
that? You could go to somewhere that does the most amazing nail art, but if it chips off within 24 hours, it's not good, is it? And I love that, you know, the salons that I go to, the nails have really lasted, like a lot of wear and tear and parcel opening and baking and decorating and whatever. So I think you do have to do your research and hear from other people that have been there and had good experiences.
Is that one of the first things then that you would look at, is the reviews?
Yeah, I always try and find reviews. I think it's so important.
I do though, don't you, Shelby?
I do for anywhere.
For anything, whether it's a restaurant, a hotel.
Oh my God, yeah.
I look at everybody's reviews, and you can usually, yeah, there might be one or two, but you can see past them. You can usually tell if it's a disgruntled person.
It's a whole experience finding a restaurant. I mean, anyone that follows me on Instagram knows that food is my thing. I'm obsessed with food, and it's the same as salons. Like, I just do so much research. So for example, I'd be going to New York and I make sure that I do so much research. I look for the best hidden gems. I look for, you know, I even ask taxi drivers, like, where does everyone eat in New York? Where do the locals eat? I ask hotel concierges. And it's the same if I was in a new city, I would, you know, ask a hotel concierge, where do the like cool people go for their nails doing? Like, where? It's good to get insider knowledge, I guess. Ask the locals.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I always go on recommendations, me as well. I ask for recommendations for everything, whether it's Netflix, plumber.
I refuse now to go to anywhere without a recommendation, because years ago, I remember I was in Santorini, and it was kind of before the days that TripAdvisor was such a big thing. And I went into this restaurant and we had the worst experience ever. And honestly, I checked their TripAdvisor after and I was like, oh my goodness, had I have checked this first, I would have never gone into this restaurant, because it got like one star and everyone was saying they got scammed. So I very quickly learned, do not go anywhere, and because it's not worth wasting your money.
No. And unfortunately, we don't really have a TripAdvisor of salons.
Yeah.
But now a lot of Facebook pages obviously have a reviewing system.
Yeah,
some booking systems. Now you can leave a review if the salon uses a booking system.
Treatwell, yeah. Facebook, yeah. Google yeah. reviews. I know what you mean because, to be honest, I've never read that many reviews of salons. I know that Ragdoll, I've seen on their Facebook, they get really good reviews. And also I think if someone doesn't have reviews but they have Instagram, head over to their Instagram and check their tagged pictures. How do other people's nails look? Like normal people's nails that they maybe, you know, the account hasn't uploaded the picture, but a normal everyday human being has tagged them in a picture of their nails. How are they looking? I think that's really good kind of research as well.
Yeah, I do. 100%. So when you've gone to a salon for the first time and you've walked through the door, what do you expect to see? What is a good first impression to you?
So I love the smell of clean. I feel like I walk into salons and they just smell clean and fresh. And obviously, I've seen so many horror stories online about these nail salons that sadly are run by like people trafficking and,
yep.
you know, they're actually very dirty and they're not sterile and they don't pass hygiene ratings. So for me, definitely I want to make sure that it's clean. You can tell the minute you walk into a salon if it's kind of dodgy. You want to know that, you know, it's clean and that the receptionist is welcoming and lovely and that people just seem happy in there. You know, the staff seem happy. If it's maybe a salon with five different girls working there, I want people to like their job. I want everyone to actually enjoy working there. Like I used to go to Nails Inc. in Harvey Nichols and the girls in there were always so happy and chatty and they genuinely were happy. Because if someone that works there isn't happy, it will reflect onto you and you'll have a bad experience and you'll recognise that they don't like their job.
It's so funny that you said that because both of them things I can relate to. I've once been in a salon where there was literally dirty cereal bowls with like hard cereal stuck to the side, but like actually on the nail desk, like on this extended part of the nail desk.
Is this somewhere you've worked?
No, this is where I've been. You know where I've been.
I'm like looking at Shelby now, like staring, like, oh, where's this?
You'll know when I say afterwards.
I don't like places like that. I'd rather pay a little bit more money because I know that a lot of my friends, when we were at uni, they'd be like, no, I just want to go to whichever nail salon in Leeds City Centre is cheapest. But the thing is, it's worth paying £2 extra to get your nails done to know that one, the staff are happier, and two, that everything's spotless.
Yeah, there's that saying in the cheap nails aren't nice, nice nails are cheap.
Yeah, no, truly, and you do get what you pay for. I mean, I know that prices in London are just, they are ridiculous and it is like triple the price, seriously. However, when I'm looking at Leeds salons, I do believe that you should just pay like an extra £2 because you get such a better experience and a higher quality.
Yeah. I think if you were to walk through a door and you were greeted with, I don't know, nail clippings on the floor.
Ugh.
I'm going back to when I was an apprentice and I got an apprentice role working in a salon in Leeds. And I mean, I were a lot younger then, and I just remember looking at the blue disinfectant Barbicide jar and floating in the bottom was like, I'll just say hairs, that's what I'm going to say.
Oh.
But, and I thought, oh my God, and do you know what, I didn't take the apprentice role. I said, no thanks. And it were like, I can't work here, I can't, the hygiene. So yeah, it might be dirty, but what else is dirty? Are the tools sterilised? And
oh my God, I completely agree. If it's dirty just to your customer eye, imagine what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that with COVID now, everywhere that was dirty has been, you know, told to fix up. So let's hope that that's fixed those things. But I just love, like, I know that a lot of salons do have to be clinical because particularly a nail salon, they have to be so clean. But I went to a place in London the other day called Blush Blow. It's in an area called Parsons Green. So it's in like the Fulham, Chelsea area. And oh my gosh, it's stunning. It doesn't feel clinical at all. It's kind of like being in the bougiest front lounge with like gorgeous sofas and big neon lights. And it feels, oh my gosh, just so cool. So that's also really nice. It feels like a real experience. It feels like a bit like going into Drybar. You're just going into somewhere that's so beautifully designed.
Ooh, yeah. We're going to have to check that out, Shelby.
Yeah, we are.
And for the record, I've only just learnt what bougie means.
My mum definitely does not know what bougie means. She'll be listening to this, so hi, mum. And she'll be like, oh, now I know what bougie means as well.
What's your mum called, Em?
She's called Sarah.
Sarah. So we'll give a shout out to Sarah as well. So
yeah, we're in like a group chat, and there's a good mix of ages within this group chat. It's like a, yeah, it's full of professionals, and one of the younger girls said bougie, and my mum was like, right, okay, somebody has got to explain what this, yeah, means.
I'm like, I'm 46 year old, what is bougie?
It's such a weird word though, like it is the weirdest word ever, and now and it is. Say it, and I'm like, what does that even mean?
It is really hard as well to describe, like I know what it means, but so hard to tell somebody else what it means.
I think better to describe it as like, so there's this restaurant in New York that I took my mum to last year, and it's the best restaurant ever. It's called Tao, and it's, I describe it as kind of like, I'm trying to think of the Yorkshire equivalent. The London equivalent would be like Sexy Fish or Nobu or Hakkasan. It's kind of like a really fancy Asian restaurant.
And is it spelled like T-A-O? Yeah. Or T-O-A? So actually, I once read one of your blogs about this, and me and my boyfriend went for Christmas Day 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
And we went there for Christmas Day for Christmas lunch. You love it? Yeah, it was so amazing.
I describe that as a bougie restaurant. So I would say to my mum, we're going to Tao tonight. It's a bougie restaurant. And then she sits down, she's like, oh my God, I get it now, I know what bougie means.
And the best part was when I got back, we was watching a movie, it was like a chick flicky movie, and it was on in the, they were like doing speed dating in this restaurant, and it was in the Tao restaurant. Oh, and I was like, oh my God, I've been there. It.
Because like Beyonce and Jay-Z go there, Kanye and Kim go there. It's like a real, yeah, I guess it's like the Nobu, but it's a bit more of a cool Nobu. Like, Nobu's good. I don't know how we've gone from nails to Asian food, but we'll go with it. People who like getting their nails done like good food.
Yeah, I've just Googled bougie while we've been on. And it's basically a term to describe, like, exclusive or high class, ooh, it says.
No, bougie. That doesn't make sense. Like, my brother uses it a lot. I feel like it's a young person's word. My brother's 28. He's definitely not that young anymore. And he always texts me saying things are bougie. He texted me this morning saying something was bougie. And I was like, oh, you're down with the kids.
You know, people will be listening to this podcast. They're going to have so many recommendations. Yeah. Of, like, restaurants, hotels.
Guys, hit me up. I've literally got them all. I'm like a book of recommendations.
Yeah. You're like Wikipedia.
What can I say?
So when you do visit a salon, what, like, two of the main things that we feel are quite important are customer service and then the quality of the treatment. Do you think one is more important than the other?
Yeah, I think that was so blunt, but yes, you can absolutely, as much as I love service, I think good service is the best thing in the world. However, I would rather have a really good treatment and nails that last me for ages and bog standard service. And my example of this, I'm going to link it to food again. There's a place in Leeds called Fuji Hero, and I've been going for years. It's just like it's not to be rude, but it's quite a grubby, like, they've not really decorated it. It's kind of like sitting in your grandma's lounge, and the service isn't that great, but I have been going since I was literally born because the food is so good. So it's not that clean and it's not that nice and the service isn't that good, but the food is so good that I go back all the time. And I think that would be the same for a salon. If I know that the nails are gonna last better than, you know, the bougie place next door, I'm gonna go to the place that's maybe a bit grubby with not that good service, because I'd rather have nails that last.
That's so interesting.
That was such a long way of me explaining that. I'm so sorry.
We appreciate it.
It makes sense what you're saying, because I think the food would outweigh.
Yeah.
You can sort of put to one side the other poor service or whatever.
And obviously, it is so much better if you can have it all. You know, the dream salons have service with a smile, they're really clean, and your nails or hair or brows or whatever it may be lasts forever. However, I just know that Fuji Hero does the best yakisoba noodles in the world, and nowhere can beat them. So I'm going to keep going back, even though the service is painful, because I can't get noodles like that anywhere else.
Yeah. I think that's really good. But I think also, anybody listening, shouldn't think, oh, well, I can do brilliant nails, so I'm not going to talk to you when you come for your nails doing. Because I think if you can, the whole...
Yeah, you want the perfect package.
I mean, there's nothing worse, I don't think. Like, I have been in a position where I've gone for a treatment and the therapist can do amazing treatments but has no social skills to chat. And I'm a chatter. Yeah. Do you know? And I start to feel a bit awkward then because they can't chat. And then I feel myself sinking, you know, a bit into chair. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a bit awkward.
I feel like you need to get a good balance, don't you? Because sometimes, like, when I go to a salon and maybe I just want to be a bit silent or I've got emails to do or something, I feel like the heat from the person behind the chair looking at me thinking, God, she's such a bitch. Like, why is she not talking to me? So then I, like, awkwardly have to start some kind of conversation because I don't want them to think I'm rude. So I do think there's a level of, you do need service. Like, it's service, let's be honest, that is going to bring someone back, because lots of places can do good nails. It's an amazing skill to have, but what's to stop that person? I mean, getting these good noodles is actually quite difficult. They're quite a rarity. But nails, I do think the person could just go somewhere else and get nails done probably just as good. But if the service is a touch better, they're going to go back for the service, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I would have thought. I think for me, I always let my client lead the conversation, as in, you can usually tell if somebody's busy or needs to be on the phone or they're having a pedicure and they don't want to chat, they'd rather read a magazine. I love nothing more than, I recently went for my feet doing and read a magazine and it was so lovely, but the therapist was saying to me, oh, would you like a magazine? And I was like, oh yeah. And she was like showing me some articles that they'd been in and I was like really interested. But, and she left me to it. So it, I think letting the client sort of lead what they want is a really good way of judging whether they want to chat or whether they want to do some work or just switch off, basically.
I think as well, like, you know, there's so many different salons out there these days. Like you say, Em, you've got your bougie, really trendy, like high-end salons. You've then got your more little intimate one-to-one home salons that are in people's back gardens. You've then got your more traditional style ones that have been going for 20, 30 years. There's so many different types of salons now that depending on your client can choose what type of salon suits them, whether they want someone who's really chatty, wants the music to be blaring out, or whether they want it to be really quiet and more like a spa. There's so much choice out there now. It's about trying to match the clients with the salons.
I think you're a very good therapist as well. It's very rare to find a therapist that can't pick up on those social cues. So most therapists or technicians, you know, they know that you don't want to talk, just like you said, because my mum is, she's chatty, but she's definitely not as chatty as me. I definitely didn't get those genetics from her. She is someone that, she goes to a salon and she doesn't want to speak much. Like, she loves our hairdressers so much, but she loves them because they're very good at picking up on her cues that actually she wants to just read a magazine. And it doesn't mean that she's being rude. It means that, gosh, this is the only 2 hours I've had to myself in months. So I want to read a magazine. And I think that's okay if you want to do that. And it's great when the technician gets that.
Yeah. And I don't think from our point of view at all, we wouldn't be offended if a client wanted to be on the phone. They were doing some work, some emails, reading a magazine.
The only time that it's ever a slight issue depends on the type of treatment you're doing. But obviously, like, I have some clients and they try and multitask with their phones and you just see what's coming and the next minute that nail is smudged or fluff. But, like, generally, like, a lot of my clients are regulars, so I'll say to them, just watch that hand as you put it in the lamp, you know. Just be careful. You've got world's fluffiest jumper on today.
And I think it's about the way you do it. Like, the other day when I went to the salon for my nails doing, she'd put some cuticle gel on my nails and she said, I was doing emails and she said, oh, just a heads up, if you can just keep your hands flat for this section, just because we need it to, you know, stick onto your nails. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's fine. And I put my phone down. You know, I'm obviously here for a treatment and I want the best treatment possible. But equally, like you said, there's so many different types of salons. I know which ones I'm booking into. So I know that when I'm going to my hair salon or Ragdoll Nails, I am going and I want to catch up with the technicians. But when I'm in London, I know that I've got a day of back-to-back meetings. I need to get my nails done. So I'll book into Blush Blow or Drybuy, and I know that I've only got that hour, and I open up my laptop, and that is like a cue to let them know that I've got this 1 hour to get my work done, and it's all good. Like, they're fine with it.
Yeah. If you ever went to a salon and you were unhappy with anything, whether it was treatment-based, service-based, the salon itself maybe, would you be comfortable to say something, or would you just leave and keep it to yourself and not return again?
I just couldn't say anything. I hate confrontation, and I think that there's a way of complaining in like maybe a constructive way. So depending on what it was, I would maybe drop them an email after. I went to get a blow dry in Miami, and the woman literally burnt my scalp. It really hurt. And you know, eventually she stopped, but I just didn't say anything. I just never went back to that salon. And then I had a massage once. Oh my gosh, it was awful. It was, what do they call it when they do your feet? Oh my God, and they like push in your, it's a certain type of massage. They like push in your nodules and your feet and stuff. Oh my God, it was disgusting. It was the most painful thing I've ever had in my life.
Being pummeled to death.
And I should have said something, but instead I was like scratching my hands to try and like stop the pain. And at the end I was like, wow, that hurt. And he said, oh, you should have said. And I should have just said, but I'm such an awkward person. Like, if I didn't like my blow dry, I would just think, well, it's going to drop in an hour anyway. I just would never want to make the person feel uncomfortable. I mean, if I didn't like the nail colour, say in the first coat, I would say, oh, I'm really sorry. Do you think we could actually go to like a nude instead? I've had nail technicians tell me before that girls have literally, they've done their whole nails and then they've made them take it off and start again. But the customer just pays for it, so it's fine. But oh, I would never make someone do that.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about us British. I don't know if it's a Yorkshire thing, but complaining does not come easy. I don't know why we feel really uncomfortable to say something. I don't know if it's the like the British stiff upper lip or...
Yeah, even I've once been for my nails doing, mum was on holiday and I was going on holiday like a few days later, so I needed to get them done and I can't really do my own, so I was like, I'm just going to go and get them done. And this is how bad it is, but I actually chose a colour that I knew I had myself in case I needed to, like, top it up or...
That's a good idea, though. That's smart.
Yeah, isn't it? But I did.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Fancy agreeing.
It's a good job, smart. Though, because I came home and I had to put another layer of colour on myself at home because it hadn't, like, covered. It was really patchy. And, like, I should have really just said, would you mind just doing me a third coat of that colour because it hadn't quite covered, you know... But at the same time, I felt really awkward because I thought the girl must know that this colour hasn't covered and she's obviously not very willing to fix it. And I don't know, I just felt so awkward. So I just like, went, let me
pay for privilege.
I mean, it's one of those things like I'd rather just pay and get out because I just feel so like, I can't remember who it was that told me that, yeah, this person didn't like their nails. So there and then she just said, no, can you take the whole thing off and start from scratch? Like, it's fine, I'll pay you. But I would be mortified sitting there for another hour. Oh my gosh. Like, to me, it doesn't matter if you're paying. I just think you have to value that person's time and they could have another appointment. It's very lucky that that person didn't have another appointment. And actually, I had it once where I went for like a mint green colour and I get really bored of my nails like really quickly. And I just got bored of it after like 2 days, but that's my fault. Like, I chose the colour. So now what I tend to do is I do my planning. I like go on Pinterest the night before and I choose some patterns or some colours, or I go on like whichever salon I'm going to. I go on their nail page and then I like save them down so that I know what I'm going to get. And then you never have to have any mishaps.
Yeah. But I think from a salon owner's point of view, we are not offended should or would anybody want to raise an issue with those, would we? I mean,
I think as long as it's done in the correct manner, you know, I'd be offended if somebody was extremely rude to me when I felt it was not justified.
No, but I'm trying to say, if somebody said to you, like, they went away from the salon and a week later they got a chip.
Oh, yeah. We always say
to our clients, whether they've been coming to us for 10 years or they're a new client, we always say, any problems, you know where we are. Please just drop us a message or give us a tinkle. You know, please don't ever feel you can't approach us And I hope that that makes them feel comfortable.
I actually think it's way better to do it that way, because one thing about the internet is that people do love to leave a negative review. And you would much rather someone came to you and said, okay, I'm a bit confused, like one of my gels came off today. I know that with one of my salons, it happened to her, and the reason the gel came off isn't because she did it wrong. It was because they'd used something that had reacted with the gel. So she puts loads of aftercare on her Instagram, and she says to all of her clients, this is the aftercare. If you're doing washing up, wear rubber gloves. If you're doing this, if you're doing that. And it can reflect badly on the salon if that person doesn't then listen to the aftercare. So actually, it's better for you to have the client to have a chat with them before they go and leave a bad review.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing with like Google. People can hide behind Google and leave negative reviews.
We had a bit of a like nasty issue about a year ago with our salon. A customer was coming and basically leaving a... It was a fake Google review, because it wasn't under their own name. It was like a complete alias name. We didn't have it in our booking system. And like probably like one every month were just a fake review were going on. We figured out it was this particular lady in the end, because she basically came in the final time and didn't pay her bill. It was all a bit of a nightmare. But that's the only problem these days with Google and, you know, reviewing systems. A lot of the times you can just put in a fake name or a fake email address.
A salon told me once that they'd had, and I've actually heard this from a local cafe as well, that rival cafes like set up nasty accounts to leave negative comments. And that is just, I mean, I can believe it because people are psychos, but that is just ridiculous. And I think that's why, as a customer, I mean, I think people are very quick to complain, but I think we should be equally as quick to leave positive reviews. So I make sure that if I have a positive experience, I put it on my Instagram stories, I tweet about it, and I will literally try and find a way that I can leave a Trustpilot, a Google review, a Treatwell review, whatever it may be, a Facebook review, because these small businesses need it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm all for supporting small businesses, and I'm like you. Reviews to us are so important that I review everything, and if there was anything I wasn't happy with, I wouldn't leave a review.
And yeah, it's almost like
I wouldn't
that.
Put a negative unless it was something really people needed warning about, you know, and nobody was listening to me. That's almost like the final straw is leaving a negative review.
Yeah, because there's so many other things you can do. You can call them, you can send an email. You don't have to go and leave a negative review. So I like to think, because you need to give them a chance to explain themselves.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then there's always Twitter. Can always revert to Twitter if people don't listen to your comments.
Yeah, if in doubt, I keep telling my mum she needs to get a Twitter account. She doesn't have one. I'm like, oh, you can see my tweets then, and you can complain to people. But also, pre-COVID, I was getting a lot of trains down to Leeds, and I'd always have really, really bad experiences with train conductors. So then every time I had a good one, I'd always tweet LNER and be like, hi, it's me again. Bob was great today on the 756 service. Because I feel like no one is ever nice about train conductors. They're always like, oh, the train was late, I didn't get a ticket, did I? So now I'm always like, oh, David was great today, thanks.
You sound like a really good like client to have though, Em.
Yeah.
I really try. Like I know that COVID has been hard for everyone, and something I always do even before COVID, I write a lot of gift guides on my blog. So it could be a Mother's Day gift guide or a Valentine's gift guide or a Christmas gift guide. And I always say on there, buy vouchers for your favorite salons. Firstly, you are supporting a salon. Secondly, you are giving someone the gift that people don't like to pay for it themselves. And also you're giving them like an amazing experience. So I pre-COVID bought my mum a voucher so she can go and get her hair and nails done. And it's such a nice, easy gift to get someone, but you're supporting so many different things. So I think that's just such a nice thing to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm hoping Santa might bring me some vouchers, Shelby.
I was thinking this year, because of COVID, and I really want like all the salons to do well, I'm going to buy my friends, I hope none of them listen to this, I'm going to buy them Ragdoll nail vouchers. Like, I want them to go in and get their nails done, because then I'm giving money to the salon, but they also then get to go and have a pamper that, let's be honest, they wouldn't pay for themselves because we're all too busy doing life things to actually stop and take that self-care.
Yeah, and hopefully, if by after Christmas COVID is a thing of the past and it all just seems like a really bad dream, you'll all be able to go together.
Oh my gosh, so my dream hen do would be, so my mum, I mean, she will get remarried at some point, and I have said to her, I'm planning your hen do and we'll just book out a salon. I think it's the best idea, like book out a whole salon and just get everyone to have everything head to toe. There's a salon, the one that I went to the other day, Blush Blow, they did like a COVID safe birthday the other day, and it cracked me up so much because I was asking them, like, why are there loads of balloons in here? And they said, oh, it's an 8-year-old's birthday party today, an 8-year-old's, and the parents have booked out the salon so that all of the little girls can go in and have manis, pedis, hair braids and glitter. And I was like, oh my god, that is the coolest 8-year-old thing ever. I don't think I stepped foot in a salon until I was maybe 15.
I think my...
That sounds great at 46, I'll be honest.
Give me to my mum at 9, love it.
I think my 11th birthday party, or like, you know, whatever I did for my birthday, mum took me and two friends to a salon to have our nails done.
Didn't you go to Mac?
No, we went to Mac for his makeup day, me and Alice. And then we went to Chill on Leeds Road. And we had black nails, that's all I remember. Black at like 11 years old, but I thought it were really cool.
I was saying to my boyfriend, oh my god, all of our birthday parties at that age were like, I don't know, you'd go to Monkey Maze or Wacken House, or he was like, oh, I'd have a football party. I was like, is that just a Chelsea thing that girls aged 8 sit in a salon and get stuff done? Because that is cool and I want to be that mum. It's definitely like the Mean Girls mum, isn't it? Like, do you want a condom? Do you want to get your nails done when you're 8?
Maybe it's like a generation thing also, though. Maybe this is just the next generation of, like...
And you know what? People. I'm living for it. That is so cool. Like, these girls are going to be, oh my god, age 8. What a treat.
Yeah, imagine when they're 18.
I thought them young. I wasn't even wearing Dream Matte Mousse when I was 8.
I think I were lucky if I were wearing bras at 18, never mind what else.
I literally didn't start wearing foundation until year 8 or year 9 of school. And now I think, you know, people get into like year 6 and they're wearing it. It's crazy how times have changed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, completely.
I mean, I'm all for self-care, whatever makes you feel good.
I mean, my son's a barber. And I mean, I'm so glad he don't listen to this because we do refer to him quite a bit, don't we?
But poor kid.
He's like the newest member to the barbers where he works. So bless him. He always gets the kids, you know, going in for, you know, like even from little toddlers to like, you know, the 14-year-olds. And he always moans about them because they get a bit of a cheaper rate. So he always goes, oh, I've got, you know, however many kids in. And I say, yeah, but Corey, them kids, because Corey loved, from being so tiny, like a baby, he loved going to the barbers and having red gel in his hair and patterns and all this. And I said, yeah, but you've been so loyal to your barber from being a baby, and he's 20. I said, these are your next generation clients, so you need to like nurture them, because they're going to, you know, pay full price, you know, when they get older, they're always going to come to you. And he's like, yeah, mum. Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
No, that is so true. They're going to grow up with him and be like, I want to go back to Corey.
Yeah. So these little 8-year-olds, you're almost getting the next generation, the next wave of your clients.
Yeah, no.
Maybe let's start doing pamper parties.
Oh, my God, please do. Such a good idea.
Yeah, I think we'd probably have more chance of doing dog parties.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if it's a legal thing, but you should definitely let dogs in, because in London all the salons here let dogs in. Like when I walked into Blush Blow the other day, I was like, this is insane, there's a puppy in here and the owner has her puppy, and oh my gosh, it means that my mum and I can take Maple and we can all sit there, and oh, puppies are like free therapy.
Yeah, I could not take Honey in a million years into a salon. Like, there was one time where I'd had to take, she was a puppy still, and I had to take her into work because I just didn't have any like care for her. And I'd taken her in, and it was when we had a home salon, so it was like in the garden. So I thought, well, I can just let her run around the garden. And my client loves dogs, the one that I had in. So she was like, no, like I rang her and she said, no, it's fine if Honey's there, like I want to meet her. So I was like, brilliant. Next minute I look outside and she's running around with a gel polish bottle in her mouth.
I had to say to my client,
like, I'm really sorry, just excuse me a second whilst I go get this gel colour back.
That's the problem.
And then
She were on bottom shelf at waxing trolley as well.
Asleep on it.
Yeah, you'd have to make sure that obviously everything was high up, because I know that even with Maple, like, we had some sourdough bread on a table the other day and it was covered up and she must have smelt it. And the next minute we see her bolting around the garden with this little grin on her face and we're like, what's happening? And she's just got this big loaf of sourdough in her mouth. And I'm like, oh my God, that will upset your tummy. Put it down. And I just think, imagine if they got hold of like wax or something. So
yeah.
It definitely has to be a salon where everything's very high up.
Yeah, definitely.
Talking about pets then, what is your biggest pet hate when visiting a salon?
Ooh, good question.
That's a good one.
I don't like it when people talk across. So I used to work at All Saints in Victoria Quarter, and one thing we were always taught, we had like signs everywhere, is when you're at the till point and there's a customer in front of you, dedicate your time to the customer and do not like bitch and talk to the person next to you who's at the till. And it's a real pet hate of mine. Like if I go into a clothing store, for example, or a salon, and if people, like, say at reception are, like, bitching to each other about something when I'm stood there waiting to be served, I'm like, oh, my God, that is just, I don't know. I just think it's such bad manners. But apart from that, like, I quite like it if I'm, say, in the hairdresser's chair and my hairdresser's having a chat to the hairdresser next to them and we're all chatting together. I think that's really fun and it's, like, a nice community. It's more like, you know, the rudeness if they ignore you but continue having, like, a private chat.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
I don't like, this is completely obviously from my point of view as visiting a salon, but I don't like that whole like conveyor belt feeling. If I've ever been somewhere and like one girl's like started and then like another girl has like interrupted and like no one's really chatting to me, they're all just like running around like headless chickens. Like, yeah. I just sit there like, oh my God, this just doesn't feel relaxing. It's like chaos. Yeah.
I would say chaos is a massive pet hate. It needs to feel like I walk in, they're like, hi, can I take your coat for you? How are you? And I just love to feel like all my worries have been pushed away. And if there's stress in a salon, that is just not good, because it's meant to feel tranquil, isn't it? I think that's why sometimes it's quite a treat to get a treatment done either in a hotel environment or in a spa environment. I know it's always more expensive to get nails or brows or hair done at a salon or at a hotel, but they are top notch when it comes to a tranquil customer service experience.
Yeah, a lot of people like therapists have turned to like home salons, especially like in our area. It's probably a lot different for London, but a lot of people in, you know, villages, let's say, they've put maybe a shed in their garden, not a shed, but a lodge in the garden, or they've had a garage conversion, and they work on a very like one-to-one intimate sort of service. And I wonder if that's why so many people like that experience, because you don't have that like sort of chaos, because there's only yourself really to be organized and to take care of.
I personally totally agree with what you've just said, Shelbs, but for me, if I were going somewhere, I am a chatter, so I do like to earwig on conversation next door, and I like to join in with whoever's having their nails or their hair, or I like that social.
Yeah.
That real social buzz of a salon, me.
Yeah, no, I think it has to be social. I think I actually like earwigging as well, and it's quite nice when you can bring them into their conversation. It's just friendly, isn't it? I think COVID's obviously ruined that. Like when I got my hair done recently, oh my gosh, I was so happy. Like 20 weeks, it's the longest since birth I've gone without getting my hair done. And I did miss that experience, because obviously I was with my hairdresser, Louise, who is fantastic, and it was great. But obviously everyone else in the salon was miles away from me. So it was tranquil in that sense, but also it was like a very weird new normal. Like I got to chat to her, but there was no earwigging.
Yeah, there's not that like nice vibe of everybody coming together and everybody's like sort of got a similar like personalities and everyone's like vibing off of each other. Does that make sense?
Although when I went for my pedicure the other day, which is something I need to get done more, I don't know why I neglect my feet so much. Like they could literally last through a world war and my toenails would not need painting. But I made a promise to myself the other day that my toes look so good after a pedicure, I need to get booked in for this more. It's such a I look down at my feet and I'm like, dang, they look really good. And I have really ugly feet. And when I sat...
Everybody says they have literally ugly feet and they
don't. When I sat down at the like pedicure station, it felt really nice to have someone sat next to me in an armchair. Like, we were obviously distanced, but it was just nice. I just thought, oh, this feels like normal. And I love how social it feels. Yes, we were wearing our masks and yes, she was 2 meters away. But it was still quite nice. We had a little giggle about how horrible it is when you get your foot filed. And
nice. I think a lot of our clients, they have actually come to know each other as well. So because they might have the same sort of slots on every 3 weeks, like repeating, like one of my ladies, Angela, sort of knows my previous girl, Rachel, because they're always in after each other.
Oh, I love that.
And like Rachel ran behind a few weeks ago, so I rang Angela and said, I'm really sorry, but my lady's running late. Can you come 15 minutes later for me? So she said, tell Rachel it's fine. I'm like, I'm on about me. What about me?
I literally love that.
But honestly, they're so cute together. But like a lot of ours will go, oh, did so-and-so have a baby yet? And what did she call him? And did so-and-so get that house? Did she find out whether she got her offer accepted? And it's so nice that it's so
like a little community.
Yeah.
It actually is like a little, yeah, it's like a little, I don't know.
Family.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice feeling that, and we're really lucky client-wise, aren't we?
Oh, so... it sounds like you've done such an amazing job. Like, I know how much I love my salon, you know, whether it's my one in Leeds or my one in London or wherever it may be. And I just think it really is important to have that lovely, warm community feel.
Yeah, I hope if any of our clients are listening that they agree with what we've said.
Yeah, they might be like, actually, when I go in there.
No, you weren't friendly. What would you say, is there any sort of key features that you would look for when picking a salon? So do you look for a certain brand of, say, gel, or if they've got an easy online booking system or anything like that that would make you pick one salon over another?
I definitely okay, so I like an easy online booking system. I absolutely hate places that I have to call up. I think it's really old school, and I understand that that is still the way a lot of people do it, but I much prefer like just being able to go on the website and book. Or I do like it when I see companies are on Treatwell, because I just find it so easy to book. I know that when my boyfriend was looking for a local salon near to us, he literally went on like the Treatwell website and was just looking at what had the best reviews, what was in the nearest location to us. And I really don't like it when people aren't obvious about their prices. Like, I want to be able to see your price. I don't want it to be hidden and ambiguous. I want to know how much am I actually going to spend on getting my hair or my nails done. But yeah, I guess for me, it's just about ease. Like, don't make it difficult for someone to book.
It's so funny about the, you know, prices being hidden, because if me and mum ever go in a shop and there's no price tags, I say to mum, like, we can't afford it if there's no price tags.
Well, when I do it on menus on OpenTable, I use that website to book quite a lot of restaurants, and I'm like, why aren't you showing me the prices? That means that it's £65 for a plate of pasta. Like, just show me the prices. I don't want to be embarrassed when I get there.
Yeah, like you've been put off already.
Yeah. That's a really good... It's so difficult for us to see it from a client's point of view. And like what you've just said, when you've just said, I don't want to feel embarrassed, you know, you want to know how much you're going to pay. It's true. And it's so enlightening to hear it from your point of view.
No, I definitely like to know. I'm sorry if you can hear a plane. There seems to be a loud plane going over my
head. No, can't hear anything.
I wish we were on that plane right now. But I think it's so important to actually understand, you know, what clients want. And ultimately, everyone just wants a calming, stress-free, lovely experience. And they want to know what they're actually going to pay, I guess.
Yeah. What about distance? Would you be willing to travel further afield because you've seen a salon that maybe looks lovely, or it's had really good reviews, or you've had it recommended? Would distance play a part?
So I think it completely depends on the person and on the day. So for me in London, I tend to book into salons that are near where I'm going to be that day. So pre-COVID, I was having a lot of meetings and I would deliberately find salons that were next to my meetings. So one day I remember I needed my nails done and I had meetings at Oxford Street and Drybuy didn't have any appointments. So I found a place called Raw Beauty. They're on a place called Rathbone Place. And they were great because they literally did my mani and my pedi at the same time whilst I sat on my laptop. And that was just a spur of the moment. Found them online, managed to book in. And that was, again, that was complete distance. You know, it was 3 minutes from my meeting. And then when I go to Drybuy, I would never go all the way from my house just to go to Drybuy. But a lot of my meetings are on Oxford Street. So I would, you know, plan to be in Fitzrovia and go to Drybuy and do it that way. Whilst I've been obviously locked down, I would try to go. So the other day I went to this place in Parsons Green because I was already in Parsons Green for something else. So it fitted in really well. And then back home, I commute. So to go to my salon in Leeds, Ragdoll Nails, it's not close to my house. It's like at least a 40-minute drive. So I go there and book in my hair at Sassoon on the same day. So I personally make it fit with my schedule.
Yeah, I think it is that sort of weighing up convenience and luxury. Yeah. Do you know, it works both ways, doesn't it? Like, we always say, me and Shelby always say, like, like a salon in a convenient location like Leeds City Centre or the White Rose Shopping Centre, just for them spur of the moment people that want an appointment is amazing. But then we have people who come to our salon who travel from like Hull,
you know, to come, and it's like, how good you are.
Yeah, it's just like, we used to have people travel from France and Holland, you know.
That's like incredible. That shows that you are incredible. I went somewhere the other day called the Lovely Clinic. It's like a, I wouldn't say salon, it's more of like a treatment clinic. So they do like skincare, they do everything basically that you can imagine. And Dr. Sarah Tonks is phenomenal. And I've heard on YouTube that people literally fly in to see her as well, like people from all over the world. So I think if someone is the creme de la creme of what they do, then people will commute and it simply doesn't matter. I am just quite lazy in the sense that there's never enough hours in the day. So I like to try and slot the best things in where I can. So I'll be like, okay, so like, for example, on the Monday coming up, I have meetings in Knightsbridge, and then I had an invite to have a facial in Knightsbridge, and I thought, well, it's perfect. I'll do my facial and then I'll plan my meetings around it. So it's all about, for me, fitting it in. But, oh, I know people that fly in all the time to like these places in London. So it just says a lot about you. It means that you guys are obviously the best if people are traveling to see you.
I hope so.
Yeah, I was wanting to commute back to Leeds to go and see my gorgeous Ragdoll Nails. I think volumes about how good these people are.
Yeah, definitely. Do offers or discounts sort of draw you in, or does that not matter to you?
Yeah, no, they definitely do. I'd be lying if I said they didn't. I think offers draw everyone in. It's a difficult one because obviously it's not like a nail salon or a hair salon would ever be like, woo, 50% off everything today. It's more like, you know, either a loyalty card that keeps you coming back for brows, for example, or, okay, 25% off your first treatment with us. Or it's more like things like that that I think are nice. Or an email that could be like, you know, you've been seeing us for a year now, have 10% off your next treatment. Or, oh, it's your birthday, take 15% off with us this month. Just stuff like that, I think, is really special and personalised.
We've been chatting about this today in the salon, actually, like almost rewarding loyalty, you know, might be a good idea. Maybe not always in the sense of, you know, a free treatment every time, you know, like a coffee card. It's expensive to be able to do a free treatment for every paid treatments.
Yeah.
However, maybe like a reward on the birthday or a little something around Christmas time if they've come for the entire year.
Or it could even be like a loyalty card, a bit more like Nando's, where like on your fifth visit you get 15% off that treatment. And then on your eighth visit you get 20% off that treatment. And then on your 10th visit, I don't know, you get a UV solar oil, a mini, or there's so many different things you can do, because obviously customers need to understand that you guys can't just discount stuff. It's a bit like on Depop when people ask for free postage all the time. I'm like, I don't think you realize like postage costs money, just like your time costs money and your bills cost money and your rent costs money. You can't just give stuff. But quite a lot of people don't seem to understand that. So I do think giving just like a percentage off and rewarding loyalty is a really lovely idea.
If a salon was offering a discount, let's say a really good discount, but you checked it out and the reviews weren't looking great or the quality of the work, you know, wasn't there, would you still go for the discount, or would you have been put off by the reviews not to even take it?
It depends how bad the reviews were. If every single review was horrendous, and it depends what the reviews are, because some people will moan just for the sake of moaning, and some things that people moan about like don't bother me at all. But if it was like really dodgy stuff or dangerous stuff or unhygienic stuff, I'd give it a swerve. But it just depends like on what they're moaning about.
Like somebody could just be moaning about parking or something. Yeah. And that don't really reflect on the business.
I've been to restaurants before with bad reviews and I'm like, who are these people reviewing them? Like, I'm very fortunate that because I've travelled a lot, I've been able to eat at, you know, some of the best restaurants in the world. And honestly, I feel like I'm good at being like a restaurant critic. And I'm just like, some of these people just moan for moaning's sake.
Yeah.
I like to think I'm very balanced with my reviews. And some people, oh, they just love a moan. She says moaning about people having a moan. Sorry.
I think we recently did a podcast on charging your worth, which we're sort of like big advocates. Yeah. Like advocat as in the drink
avocado.
We're big advocates of not discounting treatments, because what it seemed to have done is like really, really lowered client's expectations. You know, somebody's offering shellac for £10 when actually it costs £6 to carry out the treatment, and it's really devalued the industry. And then Mary next door's looked at what Tracy next door to her's charging, so she's charged £10. And before you know it, every client wants a CND shellac manicure for £10. And you just can't do it.
Expensive product, and you've got the lighting, the bills, the heating. Of course, honestly, I just don't think people understand that it's so much more than, you know, it might cost you £6 to do that, but they're forgetting all of the other things you have to pay for.
Yeah.
And I just think, it completely devalues it. I actually think that in Leeds, the price is too low for nails, genuinely. Like when I compare it to, for example, I got my brows done the other day and it cost me £24. And I was saying to my boyfriend, God, I used to pay like £6 in Leeds to get my brows done. And it's cheap, but that makes me think, actually, are the workers being paid fairly? And how are they even affording rent? Like, I would rather people put their prices up by £2. I think maybe because I have a business myself now, I understand it more. But there's so much more to life than squeezing the cheapest thing out of everyone. I know that, I think I saw that due to COVID, Ragdoll might have added £2 to every price. And I was like, you go, girl, add £4. Like, I want people to understand the value of, you know, you guys have all been trained. People seem to think that you just came out of the womb doing nails. No, you've done like hardcore training to do this. This is a real skill. And I just think, people should absolutely pay for that, and it shouldn't be devalued.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think like what we said, it sort of has devalued, you know, the industry as a whole, which after COVID, we really need to get the industry, you know, back up and running and succeeding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just one last thing then before we let you go eventually. Could we have your advice and sort of your words on how we can go above and beyond to exceed client expectations?
Even just by talking to you, I feel like you just remind me of my mum and I feel like you two definitely exceed client expectations anyway, because you're just friendly. I think being northern and warm helps anyway, because it's that warmth, isn't it? So I would say, you know, greet people with a smile. This is all very basic, and I don't mean to like sound offensive, because I'm sure you know this, so not patronizing anyone at all, but for me, walking into a salon, I just want to be greeted with smiles and happiness, and, you know, be served on the reception, have a lovely chat. you know, sit down somewhere comfortable and warm when I'm waiting to be seated for my treatment, and then just generally see it as like a lovely session, whatever I'm having done. Like, I want to leave feeling like the weight of the world that I walked in with has been kind of lifted off my shoulders. And as pressurizing as it is for you guys genuinely have the talent to do that.
I think when you are in the beauty industry, I think it's a certain type of caring, endearing person that does follow that career path.
Yeah.
We're almost like people pleasers without knowing that's sort of like what type of people we are. I don't know if I'd say it comes naturally, would you?
I don't know. You're a lot probably more kinder and endearing than I am.
Am I? But... Well, saying that, we call Shelby the ice queen.
Oh, I don't think you seem icy at all. You seem so warm. I just think it's a northern thing. I think northerners are so warm. I mean, I'm very lucky that I have amazing southern friends. I obviously chose the warm southern friends, but generally, like, when I come home, oh, I just feel like everyone's just, I just feel wrapped up in cotton wool and everyone's all snuggly and nice. I don't know. The real warmth about Yorkshire. It's only when you move away that you notice it.
Oh, that's such a lovely thing to say, though, and it's snuggly.
I just feel like as long as you go into a salon and, like you say, there's not chaos and it's not dirty, like, it's just the basics, isn't it? Like, as long as it's clean and as long as people are nice to you and caring, and I just think, I feel like people can pick up on social cues, and I'm pleased to say I've never had any disastrous experiences. Like, generally, my experiences have just been lovely, so that's positive, I guess.
Yeah, very positive.
That deserves a review.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good sort of way to wrap up this episode, do you?
Yeah, thank you so much, Em, for joining us. It's been great to get a client's perspective on what they expect when visiting a beauty establishment. And hopefully this podcast can help sort of elevate the industry, elevate everyone's businesses and how they run their salons. And hopefully make it like the perfect environment for clients to come and visit.
Yeah, and I hope people found it useful. And if anyone needs to chat about anything in terms of, like, you know, using social media for their businesses, because I know a lot of salons now are on Instagram. My DMs on Instagram, mshellex, are always open. Like, I'm always happy to help and chat to you. And yeah, I just hope you found it useful, really.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review and subscribe.
We would love to connect with you on social media. You can follow us on Instagram at The Beauty Edit Podcast or join our Facebook group, The Beauty Edit Podcast Society.
Thank you so much again, and please do look out for another episode of The Beauty Edit Podcast.